And welcome to another edition of Sportsline Radio Show, our high school football recap show. Week two are in the books. We're going to recap those games. Our Tuesday edition, if you didn't catch Monday edition, it's posted online on our SaintLakeBroadcasting.com website. Look for it. For the Monday Labor Day edition, where we talked all about the Greater Thumb Conference. Right now, we're going to be joined by Scott Bowlesby of 92.1 Let's Talk Sports. And also, he is principal job is sports writer for the Tuscola County Advertiser. Scotty, how you doing, man?
Hey, Eddie, I'm doing all right. Reeling from this weekend. Lost a lot of money on college football. So
what? I mean, our Michigan team won. Michigan State won.
That's the only bet I won.
Oh, so, Eastern Michigan won. Central Michigan lost.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, no, I didn't lose a ton, but wasn't a great weekend for me. So back at it, week two coming up.
All right. So our high school scores from week two. High school eight player football on Wednesday. It was Deckerville over KPAC. And folks, we got an interview with head coach Bill Brown to talk about that game and give us some insight and what he's coming up on Saturday also. So tune in for that on this Tuesday edition of the Sportsline Radio Show. So it was a 40-28 win for Deckerville on Wednesday. Other high school eight-player football games the next day on Thursday and even on Friday. We'll talk about that Kingston game with Scotty here. It was the Akron Fairgrove Vikings with the win over on Thursday night over Carsonville Port Salek. How about those guys, man?
Music to my ears.
They prayed to the Norse gods, and Odin delivered for the Akron Fairgrove Vikings with that small settlement of Vikings there in Akron Fairgrove there, Scotty.
Yeah, I wish I had stats. Unfortunately, I'm not going to call them out in the air, but I will call them out a little bit. The coach doesn't send me stats regularly, but, good win for Akron Fairgrove. Tough loss for CPS. You know, I kind of I was texting Coach Hartzell a little bit after the game on Thursday night, yeah. And Mike and I were hanging out after the game in Marlette, and I said, well, let's find out if we can get a score. So I text Coach Hartzell, and he said, you know, the first game jitters were real. Like, it was tough. Yeah. So, coming out of the gate, a lot of learning with that CPS squad. And they're going to be all right, though. I mean, in the Stripes, I kind of have a feeling it's going to be one of those conferences that are going to be more wide open than maybe we originally thought beginning of the season with Bay City All Saints in there. But, I think CPS can get back on that horse and start riding and, we'll see how they can do. But Akron Fairgrove, good win for them. Week two, going 1-1. They're a tough squad. They play tough against a good Kingston squad. They come back and get a big win over CPS. So congratulations to the Vikings.
Yeah, they prayed to the Lord or Odin. Well, who else prayed for a win? The Bay City All Saints. The Catholics went to church all week and they got the win over the North Heron Warriors, 28-16. Peck shuts out Caseville 54-0. Mayville edges Burton Atherton 34-32. Ashley over New Haven Merritt Mustangs 26-6. The Brown City Green Devils are still possessing teams right now in week two. Vermontville Maple Valley, who knows where that is, 40-20 was the final score on that one. And on Friday, Kingston over Auburn Hills Oakland Christian 46-28. Good win. We'll talk to you about that game also, Scotty. Into 11 player football, it was Harbor Beach shutting out Reese 42-0. Bad Axe bounces back, gets the win over Sandusky 52-14. Lakers over Cass City 39-12. Vassar shuts out Memphis 28-0. Ubley over Carroll 42-6. Marlette over Unionville Seaboying 38-12. And into the BWAC, Croswell Lexington allows 7 points but gets the win over Richmond 61-7. The shutout streak ends in third year there with them. Armada defeats Yale 42-18. Elmont shuts out Hamtramck 44-0. And North Branch over Emily City 60-7. When we come back with Scott Bowlesby, the Tuscola County Advertiser, and Mike Gallagher, say hello.
Hello.
For the Salem County News. Joining me also is pretty much our co-host here for the Sportsline Radio Show. We'll talk about the BWAC and eight-player football. Tune in here on the Sportsline Radio Show for high school football recap here on WMIC, AM 660 and 95.3 FM.
Tired of your slow internet service that buffers when you're trying to stream a movie? Tired of hearing the internet is out again? Highline has started installing its new fiber to the home service in Sanilac County, and that solves these common internet problems forever. Connect every TV, phone, computer, and more to Highline's internet service, and you'll have the fastest internet connection available anywhere in the U.S. No contracts, unlimited data, and a fiber connection make Highline the best option in the thumb for your home's internet connection. Visit HighlineFast.com today for more information.
And welcome back to the Sportsline Radio Show. Coming off our Labor Day weekend, this is a Tuesday edition. Monday's edition, we talked all about the Greater Thumb Conference. Joining me is Mike Gallagher of the San Lake County News. Also, Scott Bowlesby with us once again for our third straight week of the Sportsline Radio Show, High School Football Recap of Week 2. The big game on San Lake Broadcasting is coming Friday night on WBGV 92.5 FM and streaming at sanlakebroadcasting.com. It will be Croswell Lexington hosting the Armada Tigers. Both teams are undefeated, and this is an intriguing matchup already in Week 3 here, Mike.
Yeah, it's interesting to have this one like right off the bat, Week 3, because last season this was a Week 8 game, I believe, and it was for the BWAC title after Croslex beat North Branch. Armada, they've just been trending upward for the past couple seasons, and they've looked great this year. And I'm looking forward to a great matchup between the two. It was a great game last year. Croslex ended up on the winning end 30-14. And I'm expecting, maybe a little bit of a closer score. It was hard to judge Armada in last year's game, the Mud Bowl. Everybody's game plans kind of changed a little bit due to the weather and the field. But I'm just expecting a great game between Croslex and Armada.
Yeah, Scotty, your note on that. By the way, last year Armada beat North Branch. Let's not forget about that. I covered that game back in Week 3, I believe, and that was a 34-28 win for Armada over North Branch last year.
Yeah.
Scotty, this is the team is an up and up. 7-4 last year. They made the playoffs. They hung in there with Croswell last year also. They lost 30-14. Now here they are in Week 3, as Mike noted. Two straight wins, a huge win in Week 1, which was a shocker, you could say, for Armada over Marine City, 28-27 double overtime. They took care of business in Week 2 over the Yale Bulldogs, 42-18. And here they are up against the Croswell Lexington Pioneers, who've had in Week 1 a big win over Saginaw Swallow Valley. They took care of business at Richmond also, winning huge with the win. Allowing 7 points, the shutout ends, but they won 61-7.
This is another big week in the BWAC. I mean, last week we thought it was going to be a big week, and Croslex goes in there and takes care of business against Richmond. And I remember that game last year. I wasn't at it, obviously, but I remember Mike talking about the Croslex Armada game, and we kind of thought maybe that was going to be the first loss of the. They lost to Williamston. But besides that, that was a Week 1 loss. But, we kind of thought maybe that was going to be the loss against Armada was going to happen. But Croslex was able to gut that one out in what Mike, referred to as the Mud Bowl. And, I think that you're going to see more of a game plan this year that they can actually stick to. It's not supposed to be the same type of condition. So I'm excited about this game. I'm excited to see what Croslex has got. And it's kind of like that old saying, death, taxes, and belly groppy running over 200 yards.
You're still the Groppy Club, right?
Yeah, I'm definitely a fan of that. I'm on that fan club bandwagon. That is for sure. It's a kid's unbelievable. It seems like every week. It's only been 2 weeks, but wondered what he got this week. Saw Mike posted the stats. I think it was actually Coach LeGros maybe posted the stats before. But I think, man, this kid is just keeps moving, keeps going, and it's just one of those names. You hear the name and you're like, man, I want to root for that kid. That's such a cool nickname. So,
well, let's talk about this game. Croswell Lexington in the first quarter alone scored 4 touchdowns, leading 27-0. In the second quarter, they did allow that 7 points to Richmond, but Croswell scored another 20 points, making it 47-7 at that point. Running clock gets into play here in the second half as they scored 7 points in the third quarter and the fourth quarter, 7 points, making it 61-7. 4 touchdowns in the first quarter alone. I can see why you're part of that Groppy fan club. Gabriel Groppy had the first, it was Drew Hosterman with a 55-yard pass from Gavin Espinoza, who's just taking this transition and running away with it, making it 7-0 there, Mike. Groppy, a 30-yard run, a 74-yard run, a 2-yard run. I can see why Scotty is in this club right now.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting because when you look back at last season's matchup with Armada, Belly Groppy, he started the year on JV. They brought him up a couple games in, and he was consistently pretty good. But that Armada game was his coming out party. With the weather and the conditions, that kind of took away the passing game with Jake Townsend. So you go with the sophomore running back. I believe he had 37-38 carries, and he just put the team on his back. And it's great to see this year. Now that he's got a season under his belt, it's more of a balance. offense, getting him, you know, he's had 20 carries 2 weeks in a row, 254 yards and 3 touchdowns against Richmond. And I think that's really helped with the transition for Gavin Espinoza. That takes some of the pressure off of him at quarterback. And, you know, I think we really saw him. You know, Gavin had just a great game against Richmond, and I think from here on out we're going to see him just keep making plays. And that's what's so exciting about him, is he just always makes that big play. And, you know, another interception on defense this week, so he's doing it on both sides of the ball. And it's just great to see that balance with the offense this year.
Yeah, Gabriel Grappi, that's his first name, but is it just a nickname, Belly?
It is, yeah, yeah.
He said, "Get in my belly!" Touchdown, 3 touchdowns. I think they took him out in the second half, apparently, because I don't see much of him scoring in the second half, or maybe they wanted to share.
Yeah, I'd imagine in the second half they probably went with some of the backups. There's really no need to run it up any more than 61-7. That's about all you really need. You don't need to pile it on anymore. And, you know, it's just a great opportunity to get some of those backups some reps, and, you know, some of these younger guys get them some reps. So overall, just a great game for Croslex. And, you know, we had talked about it last week. You know, maybe we were expecting Richmond to keep it a little bit closer, because they did have that nice win against St. Clair, and I think people were buying into Richmond. And I don't know that this final score tells us that Richmond maybe is not as good as we thought, or if Croslex is, you know, they're just way better than we expected, which we already expected them to be pretty good.
I'll tell you how good they were in this game. They weren't. I'm sorry, Richmond. Good week one win. But a total, Scotty, of 51 yards, 89 passing yards, but minus 38 yards.
Oh, yeah. That's tough. Yeah, you can't do that in the BWAC and expect to win games.
And the only touchdown given up was on a kickoff return. So, I mean, the defense, they were fantastic. 2 interceptions for Nick Monzo, 1 interception for Gavin Espinoza, 2 sacks, 3 tackles for loss for Benny Mendoza. Just a lot of great performances on the defensive side of the ball, and it's going to be awesome to see them go up against Armada.
5 turnovers for Richmond in that game also, 3 fumbles, 3 interceptions, 2 fumbles. You know, we're talking about the offense here for Croswell. And by the way, I got to throw in Gavin Espinosa, also the rushing yards. He can run also on the ground. Did a pretty good job of running. He had 47 yards. He was a Seeking leading rusher, but Billy Grappi there. Or is it Grappi or Grappi?
Grappi.
Grappi, 252 yards total with the 3 touchdowns. Espinosa had a touchdown also. But he also threw the ball. Well, also 218 total yards, passing yards. That was total receiving wise for, so a good, really well-balanced offense for Croswell here, where defense doesn't really know what to focus on at this point.
Right. And, you know, you look at the stat line, 10 of 20, but, you know, four of those 10 completions were for touchdowns. And that's what you're looking for. You're looking for those big play, you know, home run, hits. And, you know, you mentioned the running game from Espinoza. You know, we saw that from Townsend as well. He was a great runner. But it just adds that another dimension to that Croslex offense.
Scotty, here's the thing that we're talking about the offense. We're talking about the offense. We got to note that obviously the defense is working well for the Pioneers this year right now so far through 2 weeks. I know it's only through first 2 weeks. Good win over Saginaw Swan Valley. It was Richmond, so we kind of know what Richmond's made up right now in the BWAC at this point. But we're not really talking about defense, and that is going to probably be a key here when they take on the Armada Tigers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at the past, you know, the first 2 weeks of the season, they've given up a total of 14 points. I mean, that's especially against that Swan Valley squad, because they just took on Frankenmuth the other night. And actually, you know, competed with Frankenmuth for a little while there before Frankenmuth pulled away 41-16. So, you know, they were able to hold that Swan Valley squad to just 7 points. I mean, that's got to be, you know, feel nice for, you know, the Pioneers. And, you know, we know that that's going to be something going forward that they're going to try to hang their hat on, because, I mean, back-to-back week just giving up 7 points is, you know, a lot. I don't know. You said it was the only score was the Richmond, and the Richmond game was the opening kickoff?
Not the opening kickoff, but yeah, kickoff return for a touchdown.
So it wasn't even the defense that gave up the score. I mean, that's
right.
So the defense literally, unless they gave up the 7 points on a kickoff in Swan Valley, they've only given up 7 points this season. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Well, and you look at the Croslex defense, and yeah, great start to the season this year, but that's kind of carrying over from last season. Down the stretch, Armada 30-14. Okay, 14 points. Next week against Garber, 38-0. For opening round of playoffs, 6-0 over Pontiac Notre Dame. Then 20-8 against St. Clair, You know, yep. I mean, those are two playoff games. One of them a district final. You give up 8 points. And, you know, throughout the season, shutout against Yale, shutout against Richmond, 7 points against Elmont, 6 points against Algonac. So it's interesting when you look at Croslex because, you know, their offense is so exciting and they do all these great things. But, you know, maybe kind of silently in the background, this defense is one of the best in the thumb.
I feel like a lot of people focus more on what they lost in the offense and what maybe they were bringing back or what they were building on that defensive side. And I think it's really showing to start the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that you lose a guy like Kirk Wilson and the all-thumb defensive player of the year. And you don't really miss a beat. And, you know, that says a lot about the coaching staff. Coach Mike Sheridan's done a great job on the defensive side. And it just makes Croslex such a dangerous team.
All right, for the Richmond Blue Devils, that 80 yards, well, they didn't count towards their total offensive yards, you know, no. You could say, but that was an 80-yard kickoff return for their score in the second quarter. Into the second quarter, Trevor Soe, 11-yard TD pass from Gavin Espinosa. Jackson Gonzalez, 39-yard pass from Gavin Espinosa, making it 40-0. Gavin Espinosa with a 10-yard run, making it 47-7 in the second quarter. Third quarter, it was Aiden Wilkinson, 45-yard TD pass from Gavin Espinosa, 54-7. And then Nick Manzo, a 1-yard run, making it 61-7 in the fourth quarter alone.
When you run down those scores, too, four touchdown passes for Gavin Espinosa, all two different receivers. You got Hosterman, you got Gonzalez, you got Soul, who's stepping up, and he's becoming a nice piece. And then I think you said Wilkinson in the second half. So just a lot of weapons in that receiving core. Last year, we saw them kind of lean on Sage Slanik, and then Jackson Gonzalez and Drew Hosterman kind of, you know, they got theirs when they could. But now this year, it's just such a balanced receiving core, and it's been fantastic.
All right, we'll take a break here, and when we come back, we'll talk about the Armada Tigers. That's our game of the week on WBGV 92.5 FM. Croswell Lexington Pioneers hosting Armada in high school football this coming Friday evening, 6:30 p.m. on 92.5 FM. And we'll be right back for Sportsline.
Hi, I'm Grant Smith, owner of the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency. If you are a senior 65 or older and you would like alternatives to your current health insurance, you don't have to wait. Make an appointment and come talk to us. We have policies you can buy throughout the year. And remember, we are here throughout the year to help you with any health insurance questions. The Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency, the right decision.
Local news, local sports, local entertainment, faith, lifestyles, and so much more. That's what you get at BlueWaterHealthyLiving.com. Blue Water Healthy Living is an online magazine that keeps you in the know and lets you escape with their featured video shows, news, and daily articles. Blue Water Healthy Living can be the best part of your day, every day. Visit BlueWaterHealthyLiving.com. It's the online magazine that focuses on the heart and soul of the Blue Water area community.
What's that? What'd you say? I can barely hear you. You need to switch to the talk of the thumb.
The kids are back in school. The nights are a bit chillier. And with all the lake activities, campfires, hometown festivals, and parades, you've had a great summer. However, after all the wear and tear from a busy life, your cell phone has seen better days. You're in luck, because Thumb Cellular has deals for you. Throughout September, all iPhone 12 and 13 models are $50 off while supplies last. And if you're a fan of flashy Androids, you can save $200 on the Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 3. Best of all upgrades or new lines come with a free month of service. Yes, 100% free. Don't forget to protect your new phone with a case and a screen protector. You get $10 off when buying them as a pair. You won't want to miss Thumb Cellular's September deals, so hurry in today. Terms and conditions apply. Speak with a customer care representative for details. Visit your local Thumb Cellular office in Bad Axe, Caro, Pigeon, or Sandusky, or find out more at thumbcellular.com/deals. Offers valid through September 30th, 2022.
Welcome back to the Sportsline High School Football Sports Show on WMIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM. Every Monday and Tuesday, we recap the high school football action from the past week and look ahead. All right, now moving on to Armada. They went up against Yale, win 41-18 as they head into this game at Croswell Lexington, but a good win here for Armada in week two over Yale Bulldogs. They started off with the lead in the first quarter, 6-0. and there was no scoring from Armada in the first quarter. But in the second quarter, the Tigers woke up. All right, so looking at the scoring, it was Yale scoring first in the first quarter, 6-0, and then no scoring by Armada at all in the first quarter. But then in the second quarter, Armada wakes up. It was 7-6 with a touchdown, 14-6, 20-6 lead for Armada. In the third quarter, they picked it up, 27-6, 34-6 before Yale scored again in the fourth quarter, making it 12-34. By then, it was too late. Armada scores another touchdown, 41-12. Yale getting some pride points, making it 41-18 at that point. And with the win, Armada Tigers 41-18 over the Yale Bulldogs. 490 rushing yards for the Armada Tigers. They were on the prowl. They ate the dog. And they ate every part of that dog there.
Yeah, that's a pretty impressive win. And, you know, against a Yale team that was coming off of a huge week one win, and that's a program that's, you know, they're on the way up. And so that's a huge win. I mean, a really impressive win for Armada. And that ground attack sounds pretty scary. I think you said they had multiple 98-yard. Yeah.
But I think they were probably doing total yards. I think they might have had some passing yards. I'm looking at the Max Pratt stats from the Armada Tigers also on their stats here.
Okay.
And it looks like, I think, passing-wise, they had about 110 passing yards, 6 of 6. So not bad.
Pretty efficient, yeah.
Yeah.
They were in the wing T over in Armada or what?
I can't remember.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, that's a good question. I should know the answer because I watched him play last year, but I don't have an answer for you.
It seems like a lot of mouths are being fed over there. It's you know, pretty impressive.
Well, and when you see 6 for 6, that's usually, you know, you run the ball, and then the couple of times you do throw the ball, it's, you know, somebody's wide open. So that, right. That kind of sounds like a wing T type of offense, but I'll let you know next week. How about that, Ed?
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, I want to make sure I read this info right because I'm looking at the huddle page, and now I'm looking at the Armada page, and I think I'm reading this right? I'm at the actual game stat page here, right? So looking at Lucas Pratt, the sophomore, 6 of 6, 110 passing yards for that game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So 262 yards in this game alone, and it was Kyle Conan, I do believe. It's a name I remember from last year. 127 yards and 19 carries and a touchdown. 3 touchdowns for Vinny Foldale. He's a senior. 6 carries, 87 yards. And then we had Kenny Goik. Looks like it. He's a sophomore. 4 carries, 24 yards. But 3, 4 touchdowns on rushing and 2 touchdown passes. I think they, according to the info from Huddle, this one, I'm going to go with the Max Preps info here from Armada alone.
That seems a little more accurate, yeah.
A little bit more balanced offense, and that's what they're going to need, Scotty, against Croswell.
Yeah, obviously. You know, it's they're going to need to bring everything that they can, including the kitchen sink, to Croswell-Lexington, and try to get that victory over the Pioneers because, you know, I don't know, you know, the defensive totals off the top of my head as far as, you know, Croswell-Lexington. We've seen, you know, the scoring, how much they've not given up this year, but, you know, I don't know how many yards they've got passed on them or, you know, rushed on them. And, you know, you said, you know, it sounds like a pretty healthy rushing game over in Armada. So, you know, we'll see what that ground and pound does to Croswell-Lexington. Some of those teams kind of get caught off guard, but we see that Croswell-Lexington just the same likes to run it quite a bit as well.
Yeah, according to the info here, Zach Dykes was the leading receiver, 69 yards, 3 receptions, a touchdown. Leo Andrews also 31 yards, 2 receptions, 110 yards receiving for Armada. Can't wait for that game. That'll be on Sand Lake Broadcasting, 92.5 FM, WBGV, and streaming at sandlakebroadcasting.com. Tune in for that. We're wrapping up our portion of this Tuesday edition. Coming up, we're going to talk about North Branch, more BWAC, and then we'll get into high school player football here on the Sportsline Radio Show, our Week 2 recap of high school football. We'll be right back.
Make wash day a breeze with the help of Croslex Laundry and Tanning, 37 Ward Street in Croswell. They feature high-efficiency washers and super hot dryers, like a 60-pound washer that washes 6 loads in a short amount of time. Turn your laundry day into laundry hour. And, of course, you can take advantage of tanning specials, too, at Croslex Laundry and Tanning, next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Bonnie and Eric salute the high school football teams for their fine accomplishments and wish them the best of luck.
Welcome back to the Sports Lion Radio Show. Our high school football recaps of week two. We talked about Croswell Lexington at Armada Tigers. That is our game of the week on 92.5 FM WBGV. In our 6 o'clock portion, we're still talking about that BWAC. And with me is still Scott Bowlesby of the Tuscola County Advertiser and also does games on 92.1 FM. Let's Talk Sports, WIDL. Also, my co-host here is Mike Gallagher of the Sand Lake County News, and we still continue to talk the Blue Water Area Conference. We talked about Armada, we talked about Richmond, we've talked about Croswell Lexington, and the Yale Bulldogs, who they are playing this week after their loss to Armada. This week, they will take on North Branch, so look out here. North Branch themselves took care of business against Emily City, and they are now 2-0. A 56-7 win here, Scotty. 22 points in the first quarter, 28 points in the second quarter. By that point, it was 50-0. The running clock did not run until halftime. That's the rules. 56-0 with another touchdown run for North Branch, and then Emily City got some saving grace points, 56-7. North Branch, just a strong team. Running game once again. They did have some passing yards, but the bread and butter has been the running game here. Scotty, great win here for North Branch as they move on into week three to take on the Yale Bulldogs, who scored 18 points against Armada. We're going to find out how good Armada is against Croswell Lexington as well as Croswell Lexington. But now North Branch will have Yale. But let's North Branch right now, 2-0. I would just say not playing that a strong team so far. We know that.
No.
On paper here.
Yeah, we'd like to see them, obviously, get up against one of those big squads. And we'll see if Yale has what it takes to hold with them this week. They haven't really had to deal with much competition yet. Big week for them this week, 424 rushing yards, 105 passing yards, limited Emily City to just 101 total offensive yards on Thursday. Will Damascus, 2 of 2 for 105 yards, 2 touchdowns. And then you had 3 rushers go over the century mark, 103 yards, 2 scores for Ryan Henney, 124 yards and a touchdown for Lucas Chapman, 153 yards and 3 scores for Aiden Swash. Then you have Griffin Mayberry, 1 reception, 65 yards and a score. Aiden Swash, reception, 40 yards and a score. So, I mean, that's just the offensive side of the ball, and they've been doing a great job on the defensive side as well. So North Branch, yeah, they haven't really played the toughest of competition to start the season, but they're handling the teams that they should be handling right out of the gate.
Yeah, 105 passing yards total, as you mentioned, and 529 rushing yards. Total offense, that is. And, yeah. So we know what they do. They run. 424 yards total rushing against Emily City's total offense of 101 yards. As you said, not as tougher teams. You would hope they would pick up some tougher teams, and that would help, wouldn't it, for playoff points?
You would think so. Absolutely. I was just kind of looking at the schedule, and they're playing Hamtramck coming up that they're making up. And Hamtramck hasn't won a game since I was looking at it here, since the 6th week of 2018. So they've either forfeited, canceled games, or just lost games on the way. I mean, I know at this time you're desperate. You need to pick up a team, and Hamtramck's sitting there waiting for competition. So you kind of do what you got to do. And so they picked them up. But it's just like, man, I just wish that they went up against, and I'm going to say it again, I'm going to say it to them blue in the face, like a Millington at the start of the season. I want to see that Millington North Branch rivalry renewed, because they're both really good at this point in time. I know Millington's normally really good, but North Branch, there's a resurgence over there in North Branch Bronco country, and they used to have really good rivalries back in the day. They had I was kind of looking at the overall record, they're kind of neck and neck with each other, and there's a lot of people that have went to Millington that graduated from North Branch, and it'd just be really cool to see those two teams tie in again.
Yeah, Furman took over in what year now for North Branch? Back in 2018 or 2017?
Hang on, I'll tell you 1 second. It was 2017. He went 1-8 his first season.
Right. And then he changed the culture. Got to change the culture, and I think it will take a season. But the next season, 8-3, then 7-3. 91 in 2020, their most successful year so far, and then 7-3 last year. Not a bad year. Despite their losses to Croswell, Lexington, and Armada, 2 straight losses, but they went on 6 straight wins before losing to St. Clair in the playoffs.
Yeah, that was one of those teams last year that we thought, they're starting off, the season 1-2. Could this be the end of, this little run that Furman had them on over at North Branch? But then they rattle off all those wins, and then they get into the playoffs, and they lose to a good St. Clair squad that had a good battle with Croswell Lex in week number 2, or else we could have saw North Branch Croswell Lex rematch. And I'm very excited about that game against Cross Lexington. They do close out the season with some tough squads, much like Cross Lex. Week 8 there, Cross Lex, North Branch square off. North Branch gets Three Rivers in Week 9, and then Cross Lex gets Freeland. So some tough opponents coming up for both of those squads.
Yeah, North Branch, after this game against Yale, which is kind of a curious game there because Yale's passing a lot. Can this North Branch defense play against the pass? Because, we know they had problems against Armada with both dynamics of offense and the passing and running game against Armada last year there, Scotty.
Right. Yeah, no, it'll be a new, I guess, kind of look at it for North Branch. Armada's out to prove a point and out to prove that they are, they want to be, kind of counted on in the BWAC. They don't want to be overlooked. And, this is a perfect game for them to come out and kind of, raise some eyebrows. So, Yale. I apologize.
Yeah.
I was looking at the wrong screen here. Yale, they used to be a really good squad. I mean, you hear about Yale every year. And, they're kind of one of those squads that want to say, hey, we're back. We want to compete with the best here in the BWAC. And, they lose to Armada, but, maybe they can, rally for a game against North Branch here.
And it's Garrett Grundman now at the former head coach of Croswell, who's over at Yale. And he's got that passing game in there. And it's going to take time for them to learn. This is his second year, 172 yards passing against Armada, 90 rushing yards also.
Yeah.
So they have both offenses to lean back on. Maybe to utilize against North Branch defense.
Well, and when you look at Yale before Grundman got there, they were a power eye, run the ball type of team, and so it is it's going to take them a little while to change it. And they struggled last year, but this year we're already seeing some improvements on the offensive side of the ball. And it's tough. It's tough working your way up to the top of the BWAC, considering you got Croslex, North Branch, Elmont, Armada. But it'd be great to see Yale in that conversation as well.
Yeah, and then don't forget after this week, North Branch has Yale. They'll have that game against Elmont, and that's when the family starts breaking up. And I mean that in a playful way because Jeremy Furman's son plays for Elmont. It's been confirmed from Scotty last year. So that is in Week 4. Then Hamtramck, Richmond, those should be wins. But then you have the end of the season, Armada, Croswell, Lexington. Yeah. This is going to be a fun BWAC. We could have co-champions this year.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there definitely could be a possibility of that. A couple teams that can knock each other off, and we'll see who's left in at the end of the year. It's going to be one of those things where you're going to have some very tough squads go against each other. And the BWAC, I don't cover a lot of it, but it's a very fun conference to follow along with because you just never know what's going to happen night in, night out.
Yeah, and because you do have to follow it, Scotty, because North Branch is in your coverage area, you got to keep a close eye on those other teams. So, double the work for you to keep an eye on what they can do. And
I rely a lot on Mike, so.
And, I love the BWAC because from going from Week 10, we started covering more BWAC games. It was just a total. It just made me better as maybe a play-by-play caller, but actually understanding the game and offenses out there also. So, but a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean,
very hard to call.
You look at the BWAC and it's completely different than you would, watch in your thumb area teams like in the greater thumb. Even, when I go from a Millington game to, Marlette USA game, it was just like night and day, just because the different styles of play. I mean, you see a lot of run. Well, in Millington, you see pass plays thrown there, you see trick plays thrown in there, and you see the running backs, but they don't run right up the middle. They hit the outside, and it's just completely different styles. And I kind of get that same vibe with the BWAC as well. It really kind of throws you a curveball. It's just a different style than the thumb. Not putting the thumb down at all. I love the style of football on the thumb, but it's just like, man, it's a whole new world.
All right, so Yale themselves again, they're gonna have a tough game against North Branch. Then they'll have Richmond, Croswell, Lexington, Emily City, Week 8, they'll have Elmont. Week 9, Lutheran North. When we come back, speaking of Elmont, I'll mention them when we come back. We also got high school player football. So we'll be right back here on the Sportsline Radio Show, our high school football recap of Week 2. We'll be right back here on WMIC, AM 660, and 95.3 FM.
Hi, this is Steve Kohler with Kohler's Propane. Looking back, it's been a real nice summer, but each day is closer to fall and cooler weather. When it's time for your furnace to go on, will you be ready? You will be if you depend on Kohler's Propane. For 73 years, we've been keeping homes and businesses in the Thumb and Blue Water area warm and cozy. Our goal is to provide you with quality products and superior service. We guarantee your price for one full year, offer free tank installation, free safety inspection, plus keep full and budget plans are available. At Kohler's, we have a commitment to our customers and communities we serve to continue to provide the level of service we would expect ourselves. For information, call us toll free, 800-572-2191, or visit our website, getkohlers.com. And remember, nobody gives you gas like Kohler's.
Mark McGarry here from Moore Motor Sales in Caro. If you are planning a new car or truck purchase, or you have a current lease expiring, it's time to start planning ahead. Inventory shortages and extended order delivery times are expected to continue. Whether you want to buy or lease, turn your car in or trade it in, we can help you make the best decision to capitalize on the current market conditions. Ford Motor Company is offering an order incentive of $1,000 on many vehicle lines over and above any other rebate to place your custom order. That's Moore Motor Sales just west of Caro on M81. Visit us on the web at themooreautogroup.com and come see why for 57 years your friends and neighbors have been driving to Caro.
Welcome back to the Sportsline Radio Show. We touch on the BWAC, and so there's a team I want to mention here. Mm-hmm. And it's a team probably people may not be talking much about. And some may say they're the dark horse. They're talking about Croswell this year. They're talking about Armada now. North Branch. Don't forget, the Elmont Raiders ruled the BWAC for a long time and still continue to have winning records. 6-5 last year. Yeah, it was a down year. But they played St. Mary Catholic. They lost to North Branch, but that was a close loss, 20-14. They did lose big to Croswell Lexington, but Croswell Lexington on Stratosphere last year.
Yeah.
41-7 loss there. They lost to Goodrich, another good team. Elmont plays good teams, mm-hmm. and you tend to overlook them, but you can't forget about these guys because I believe they could be a decider maker or maybe even take the BWAC. We just don't know how strong they are yet through the first 2 weeks. They did beat Marysvale, close game there, 35-24. They picked up a game to replace Algonac Hamtramck, and it seems like right now Hamtramck seems to be, the team that the BWAC is recruiting mm-hmm. to play to fill in that loss of Algonac.
Yeah, absolutely. It's big playoff points playing Hamtramck because they're such a big school, and they haven't really had any type of success on the football field as of late. So, all the BWAC schools are, North Branch picked them up, I believe, as well. You can't really – it's not a bad game to pick up. Plus, at this point in the season, there's not a whole lot of games to be found, So you just got to take what you can get.
And then they'll have Emily City. They're going to go 3-0. I'm just going to say this right off the bat.
Yeah.
Emily City. I'm glad you're playing. I'm still playing the BWAC here, playing the games.
Emily City, they're going to take their lumps this year just because, it's a new coach and, they kind of got a late start with the new coach. But you're right. It is nice to see them playing. Hopefully they can make it through the whole season and, hit the ground running in the off season and get ready for next season.
Scotty, it was Elmont winning big over Hamtramck, 44-0. They scored four touchdowns in the first quarter alone. Bryce Furman, remember that last name, Matthew Mizo, Bryce Furman with another touchdown. Trenton Cruz also, 27-0 at that point. Second quarter, Connor, I'm not going to try. Nasty Vera, I'll find out from Coach Lusby when I see him later this season, 34-0. Connor again with the score, 41-0. And then Sean O'Neill in the third quarter, no score in the fourth quarter, is 44-0 at that point. 255 total yards. I think they were playing with a lot of short field here. 92 passing yards also for the Elmont Raiders to get this win over Hamtramck. Again, I think we're forgetting about them, Scotty. We can't forget about how good Elmont can be.
Yeah, no, we'd be stupid to overlook them. I mean, obviously the past two seasons haven't been exactly the greatest, but, before that, they rattled off how many great winning seasons and, hit the playoffs. And, even though the past two seasons haven't been the greatest, they're still 3-3 in 2020, which was a weird year for everybody, and then a winning season last year, and they still made the playoffs. I mean, you can't overlook them. They've proven themselves in the BWAC, and they rightfully so. They should still be in the conversation. I'm looking forward to, seeing them play to the BWAC, but even that week 9, you look way ahead. Elmont plays Goodrich, who gave Frankenmuth a test. So that'll be a good test for them going on to the playoffs, but let's not overlook the BWAC. because, you know, it'll be a gauntlet. And, you know, I think Elmont is a team that we should not overlook. I agree with you, Eddie.
And Coach Lewis was there long enough not to look past any team, despite it's Imlay City coming up. He wants to keep these players focused because after this Imlay City, they have a gauntlet here, Mike. They'll have North Ranch, Armada, Krauser Lexington, and then Richmond, Yale, and Goodrich. I would say look out for Yale still. I mean, they're going to improve through the season, but those three straight games there. What a gauntlet for Elmont right there. I don't think anybody plays three straight important BWAC games at this point. I think Elmont's the only team that probably does those, you know, three straight.
Right, and you know that's going to be an opportunity for Elmont. They obviously control their own destiny if that's the way the schedule's set up. You know, you go 3-0 right there, you pretty much got the BWAC in the bag. It's going to be pretty improbable to go 3-0 in that stretch, maybe impossible, but it works out nicely for Elmont to, you know, that it's theirs to lose at that point.
Yeah, and Scotty, if it's anybody who could do that, it would be Elmont.
Yeah.
Strong possibility.
No, I agree. Looking at the past schedule, obviously they've been able to run through that gauntlet before. And you know, if there's any squad, it's Coach Luzzi and the Elmont Raiders. I know that's one coach I hear a lot about more than a lot of others in the BWAC, and there's a reason behind it.
And then after that, for Yale, though, you know, like I said, that they already had Armada. They have a little bit of a gauntlet themselves. North Ranch, then Richmond, Crosby, Lexington, and then in 2 more weeks they'll meet Elmont later also. All right, so that's a pretty big game. After this game against Imlay City, that gauntlet for the Elmont Raiders is going to be very interesting and hard not to not even want to go to those games. Those are games you want to see also for the Elmont Raiders.
Yeah.
Okay,
absolutely.
When we come back, we're getting into high school player football. We've got a lot to talk about there also. We're wrapped up our Blue Water Area Conference. Don't forget, my coverage game on 92.5 FM WBGV is Krauser Lexington at the Armada Tigers. You're listening to Sportsline Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Tired of your slow internet service that buffers when you're trying to stream a movie? Tired of hearing the internet is out again? Highline has started installing its new fiber to the home service in Sanilac County, and that solves these common internet problems forever. Connect every TV, phone, computer, and more to Highline's internet service, and you'll have the fastest internet connection available anywhere in the U.S. No contracts, unlimited data, and a fiber connection make Highline the best option in the thumb for your home's internet connection. Visit HighlineFast.com today for more information.
There are names of businesses in our hometown that stand out because of their reputation, their professionalism, and their longevity. One of these cornerstones is the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency. Since 1978, Grant Smith has been preserving and providing security through health insurance policies when most needed. Call the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency today and know that he will also be here for you tomorrow.
Local news, local sports, local entertainment, faith, lifestyles, and so much more. That's what you get at BlueWaterHealthyLiving.com. Blue Water Healthy Living is an online magazine that keeps you in the know and lets you escape with their featured video shows, news, and daily articles. Blue Water Healthy Living can be the best part of your day, every day. Visit BlueWaterHealthyLiving.com. It's the online magazine that focuses on the heart and soul of the Blue Water area community.
Welcome back to the Sportsline High School Football Sports Show. Recap of Week 2. We had a game on Wednesday on Thumbtugger Sports that I actually subbed in for. We headed to KPEC Chiefs, and it was Deckerville at KPEC. And on the phone with me, our first coach interview for this season is head coach Bill Brown, able to get the win over KPEC 40-28. It was still a battle, but they got the win. Coach, how you doing?
Doing great. Just looking forward to watching this young group get better this year. It was a great game Wednesday, and our kids performed at a level that we're very fortunate and very happy for.
Yeah, I tell you what, KPEC did fight, and they fought through the whole game. It was a good game. This is their first high school A-player football game. You were on their home field also. 8-8 through the first quarter, and then KPEC take the lead at the half, 16-8. They scored 6 points in the third, but you guys were able to recover a fumble recovery on a kickoff right off the bat, able to capitalize on that. You guys scored 14 points in the third, and then 18 more points in the fourth. Just a really good adjustment in the second half, limiting the KPEC to 6 points apiece in the third quarter and the fourth quarter. Got to be happy of the adjustments you were able to make. But K-Pac came to play in the first half. What was it that was not working in the first half that you finally kind of, I guess you could say, right the ship there in the second half?
Well, I would say that, you know, talent-wise, I mean, K-Pac's got, they had a size advantage over us, of course, on the defensive line versus our offensive line. It took us a little bit to, you know, to neutralize that, or as we went. We do have a lot of kids going one way. I thought that was kind of part of it, what was going on. But and our defense actually played, whether you look at that score of 28 points, but our defense played great. Their second score that they did get, they had 8 plays inside the 10 to score that second touchdown because of a timely penalty, of course. But our defense played great all night. Special teams came up big. Defense even have a score in the fourth quarter there with Parker Merriman with a 55-yard fumble recovery return for a touchdown. So every facet of the game is what you were seeing there with us. We're not flashy. We're not special. We had kids that didn't quit. And every facet of the game, we didn't turn the ball over. A lot of great things were happening that second half. If anybody was on our sideline, it was a wonderful sight to see what was going on there. You know, at Deckerville and for our kids, for sure.
For K-Pac, 66 yards passing, according to the stats that K-Pac sent me, 172 rushing yards also for K-Pac, 238 yards total. They had some pretty good players in the backfield. I'll give credit to Carlos Uribe Arce, good quarterback. He runs. He can pass also. Matt Lee, pretty good running back in the backfield also. You guys did you had to focus on Carlos Uribe Arce in the second half defensively. Can you tell me what I know as a coach, having K-Pac in league is obviously a little bit tougher competition, their first year in high school player football. Talk about the quarterback that you had to contend with there.
You know, he can run, you know. Even if it is a pass play and it's a broken play, and that's the score. When he did score, it was a broken play. It was a passing play, and he was able to, you know, an 8-man with – I mean, broken plays are probably, you know, they're frustrating for a defense because if you're passing the football and we're getting in coverage and whatnot, and then you pull down and you just go, it's like a delayed draw, which is difficult for us. They're very good. They're a very good team. They presented a few problems with us. They rushed the ball well, but in the end, we did make a lot of stops in the end, and it shut them down. But we did have to contend with him. And I think as the game wore on, I think we wore on them. It was pretty evident what was going on in the end of the third and beginning of the fourth. I think a lot of our kids just going one way kind of started wearing on them. And you could tell that, especially on their offensive side of the ball. They ran out a little bit of gas. And I'm not saying we weren't winded, too, because, you know, it's early in the year. But we're very happy with the way our kids played in the fourth quarter. It was just a great, great high school atmosphere, to be honest with you, especially on our sideline.
Especially on a Wednesday also. It was a 22-22 tie at the end of the third quarter, and you talked about that fourth quarter. Your defense was able to get the safety, and then you had went to the passing game in the fourth also with an 18-yard pass, made it 32-22, then a 46-yard fumble return, which was a great play there also, 40-22, and then a final score. Carlos Uribe did get a 1-yard score, but that was late in the fourth. By then it was too late, 40-28. Your game plan is all about running. Great rushing game for you also, 233 yards, and you're passing 143 yards. I really like Hunter Garza, young sophomore quarterback. How has he taken this team? Is he now, like, his feet are in the ground now, and he's got a couple games in?
Well, I don't know about his feet in the ground, but he's a great kid. He works hard, and he's just figuring out how to be a leader. Conversations that we have, but what a talent! I mean, kid can throw the ball, throw it well, puts it in a spot where kids can catch it, where our receivers can catch it. But he's doing some great things, and you know, moving forward, we're gonna have to use him more because he's pretty solid. I mean, as far as a sophomore quarterback for us, I think he's already thrown for, 5 touchdowns this year. That's pretty good for a sophomore coming out. And you know what? He's got to lead that offense. Even when things were shaky and we were down 16-8, to come back in the second half and to do what he did as a sophomore is it's pretty good stuff. And I'm just sitting back watching it and enjoying it, you know. So he's doing a great job, and he's going to do nothing but get better. We have a lot of kids. You know, we start 2 freshmen and a sophomore on defense, and 2 sophomores on offense. last week. Those kids are going to do nothing to get better. So that's what we're kind of built on this year. We're young. So as we go, those kids are going to they're going to improve, you know, by jumps, you know. So it's going to be an interesting year.
Yeah, good passing game for Hunter. He also had 61 yards, according to the stats he sent to us. And Peter Lapp, 23 carries, 108 yards. How many laps have you had in the team so far in the past 5 years alone, Coach?
Gosh, I think we're coming up on four. And unfortunately, that's the last one. But Peter's a great – he's a great kid. He's tough. He's a great leader. You know, we're talking about offense. But he's a really good defensive player, to be honest with you. He's kind of the heart of our team, to be honest with you right now. But he had a great game. He's a hard worker, and you know, you could see it in the fourth quarter. He was not going down with one tackle. He was getting an extra 3 to 6 yards every time he got yards after contact. So did a great job, and you know, his offensive line appreciates it. Appreciate that, and they keep keep blocking hard for him.
Yeah, let's talk about the O-line. That running game doesn't work with your offensive line. And they did a good job to make those holes, you know, for the running back to take care of the rest. But they got to get that push, and it does help with your running game and style.
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, Gabe, you know, we got a lot of those kids are new besides our two tight ends and Osborne and Palmer. You know, they're both big dudes at the ends. You know, they're big enough to be playing guards, but, you know, they have some good hands. And they can move well, so we're leaving them at the ends. In the guard spots, we had Caleb Loomis, and we had Brady Strabowski and Gabe Kaplan in the middle at centers. He's been doing great this first two games. Those guys are doing a job up front. Not to say we're perfect right now. We got a lot of work to do, but I'm happy with where we're at, but we need to get a lot better because we're playing a very tough Toledo team. Saturday afternoon, these guys just went toe-to-toe with the defending state champion, only lost by a touchdown. So there are going to be no slouches, so we're going to have to get up pretty high level so we all play that game Saturday.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I got to point out that Chris Colzo, 8 carries, 40 yards, but he did a lot of the lead blocking also in the backfield. And Dylan Ball, also 4 carries, so 20 yards. Coach, your receivers did drop some balls there. Are you going to make them do laps or at least maybe working them to try to bring those passes in?
We don't do that. Everybody thinks we're tyrants here at Deckerville, but to be honest with you, you know, we're going to work at some ball skills. We're going to work at some tech, try to get that down a little bit. But in the end, the kids played really hard, and, you know, they never quit because when you're down 16-8, anything can happen. So those kids stepped up and got the job done. So that was a great momentum, kind of a team win that we're going to have a lot of momentum from going forward, in my opinion. Now we take on a huge challenge and probably playing if they were in the state of Michigan, they're probably going to be in the top five teams in the state right now. Wow. In Toledo Christian. So we're looking forward to it as a coaching staff and our kids. So we're going to go from there, and our kids are going to make those plays come Saturday. And here we come.
Yeah, we'll have that game on Thumb Chugger Sports also. So I just want to let you know on that. So we're looking forward to that Saturday game. Hey, credit to you and credit to Toledo Christian on playing, too, because you could have just taken the forfeit as Philly International folded, but you were looking for a game. So I give credit to you and to Toledo Christian wanting to play and coming up for the game.
Well, and you know, us looking at it, especially with the multipliers on, let's see, playoff point multipliers on, I mean, Flint International isn't going to play another game. Sure, we'd get the win, but on the other end, it's in the lose proposition of playing Toledo. They're going to win 7 or 8 games. So we're going to get more points off them, even if we lost to them, then even, you know, if we beat them, then it'll be even more. But, and you know what, if it was a seasoned team, we might think a little bit differently, but with them being with our team being really young, they need all the experience they can, even if it's going to be it's going to be a meat grinder on Saturday. They're going to be a very good football team. We're going to have our work cut out for us. But that's how you get better. We can't get better being idle and not and playing maybe somebody that isn't good or not playing at all. The only way we're going to get better is we're going to play great competition. We're going to play one of the best teams. If they're in the state of Michigan, we're going to play one of the top five teams in the state of Michigan on Saturday. So we're looking forward to the challenge as coaching staff, and our kids will, our players will also.
Coach, this is Mike Gallagher from the Sanilac County News. We kind of touched on this after your win against KPAC. The coaching staff a little bit different this season. You had mentioned your first game not as offensive coordinator, kind of taking a step back, bringing in Coach Blashill to run the offense. What helped make that decision, and how different has it been, kind of taking a step back on the sidelines?
We're still early there, Mike, but week one it wasn't bad because I was at my daughter's rehearsal, so that wasn't a big deal. I only texted a couple times to make adjustments, but they don't listen to me anyway, so that's right. Good. You know, a quality coaching staff won't listen to them. But no, it was difficult the first week, but they did a great job. Got to win going on the road. This week was kind of the same. Of course, I had a little say with Steve and I kind of being together for the first time actually on the sideline. And there were some good things that happened, and then there were some things that weren't, what I would want because I'm a I like to control and I like to I like perfection. But he did a great job. Finally, in the third quarter, I just said, I'm gonna let this guy go. I'm gonna let this coach go. And you know what? He made plays or calls that I would not, and we ended up winning the game because of it. So. You just have to – you got to empower your coaches and empower your players, and just hold them accountable. But on the other hand, that – and we're all good friends. I mean, we're all best friends, to be honest with you, all my entire coaching staff here. So it ended up working out great. I think going forward it's going to be better as the maturation process goes and he understands how I want things done and how he wants to do things. I think it's going to be good in the end because he's a great offensive mind and I've been around enough. So we're going to have – we're going to have a lot of different looks for teams going forward, because you're going to get a little bit of me, but you're going to get a lot of him, and I think it's all going to work out. And it was kind of as we were moving on, because we're all good friends. And Steve coaches with us during the state championship teams and whatnot. There was always in the back of my mind that we'd be back together at some time, and this is what was going to happen. It just happened this year. Just kind of the stars aligned, and let's do it. We're having fun, and we got a great group that don't quit. They're hardworking, they're physical, and we're looking forward to every week right now.
All right, thank you, Coach. We're looking forward to that Saturday evening game. It's going to be like a college-like atmosphere on a Saturday. We're really looking forward to that game this weekend.
Thank you. We appreciate the coverage here, and we're looking forward to Saturday too. It's going to be a great challenge for our program. I don't even, we're really excited about it because we know they're really good. Kids are going to work hard this week. Anything can happen at Deckerville anytime, so we'll see how it goes.
All right, that's head coach Bill Brown of the Deckerville Eagles as we wrap things up here on the Sportsline High School Football Sports Show. All right, Bill, thank you.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Yep.
Hi, this is Steve Kohler with Kohler's Propane. Looking back, it's been a real nice summer, but each day is closer to fall and cooler weather. When it's time for your furnace to go on, will you be ready? You will be if you depend on Kohler's Propane. For 73 years, we've been keeping homes and businesses in the Thumb and Blue Water area warm and cozy. Our goal is to provide you with quality products and superior service. We guarantee your price for one full year, offer free tank installation, free safety inspection, plus keep full and budget plans are available. At Kohler's, we have a commitment to our customers and communities we serve to continue to provide the level of service we would expect ourselves. For information, call us toll free, 800-572-2191. Or visit our website, getkohlers.com. And remember, nobody gives you gas like Kohler's.
Your friends at Liberty Lanes and Sandusky say, come join the team. The fall bowling leagues will soon be starting, and Liberty Lanes has openings for the Monday night and Wednesday morning ladies leagues, as well as men's leagues on Tuesday and Wednesday evenings. Liberty Lanes also has mixed leagues on Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday evenings. For more information or sign up, just call or stop in at Liberty Lanes and talk to Roger or Heidi. Plus, Liberty Lanes is a great place to eat. Great food, drinks, and spirits. They are also hiring for all positions, so apply now at Liberty Lanes, located at the West Park Plaza and Sandusky. Call 810-648-9860. 810-648-9860. And like them on Facebook and their website, BowlLibertyLanes.com. Welcome back to the Sportsline Radio Show, our high school football week 2 recap edition on this Tuesday. Now we move on to high school A player football, and high school A player football alone got really exciting this year just by having KPAC and the Brown City Green Devils come into play here. KPAC Chiefs are in the North Central Thumb 8-player League Stars Division. We talked with head coach Bill Brown of the Duckerboro Eagles. He got a tough win over the KPAC Chiefs. And talk about the game that he's going to be playing on Saturday evening also against Toledo Christian. So let's move on to some of these other teams. We'll talk about the Kingston Cardinals, who are 2-0 also. They started off week one with a win over the Akron Fairgrove Vikings 54-12. And then Kingston played Auburn Hills Oakland Christian, which was a little bit of a question mark. They are in the NCTL also, but Kingston able to get the win 46-28. Scotty, tell me about this game.
Yeah, that was a game going into it. I made the drive down there Friday because I wanted to see this Oakland Christian squad. Mike and I saw them in the scrimmage.
Kudos to you for doing that on Friday afternoon. I mean, man, that was awesome.
I got my paper out, and I was like, I'm out of here. I'm done with the office for today. So, Mike and I saw Oakland Christian at Peck in the scrimmage, and they were probably one of the most impressive squads there, I think, personally. I can't speak for Mike, but they looked really good. So I was like, well, let's go down there and check them out. So they play at Jackson, Lutheran Northwest, and Rochester Hills. And, I kind of rolled up to it thinking we were going to be at this extravagant school. It was right off. Literally, the 75 was on the other side of the fence where we were there playing at. You could see the cars and hear the cars going down 75, and it was definitely a very interesting setup. The clock part wasn't working, so they had to keep clock on the field, and it was just interesting. But Oakland Christian, they looked good right out of the gate. They jump on it and they score on the opening kickoff, and I'm like, oh boy, here we go. Was this a wasted trip? Kingston comes out, they go 3-and-out, kick the ball away. And then they're able to get a big stop against Oakland Christian. Then they're able to get some running going. And then Owen Corliss really finds his groove once again. Owen Corliss just breaks it out. 26 carries on the day, 272 yards, 4 touchdowns. And then he also threw 4 of 8 for 34 yards and 2 touchdowns. To note, they did lose one of their best. They don't run the ball a lot outside of Corliss, but they did. They do have a good back that helps them out. And James Rail, a cousin of the Rail that played last year, that was a bruiser back. He goes out early with an arm injury, unfortunately, they didn't have him the rest of the game. But Corliss takes it into his own hands and absolutely blows it up. He's just a phenomenal athlete to watch. The kid finds holes. He continues to stay on his feet, scamper. Finds any play possible and just continues to go. And this is an Oakland Christian squad that they're big, physical, hard-hitting. They move the ball. Could not hit a pass to save their lives, but they attempted a couple of them. They were able to hit on some big ones late in the second, but it was a little too little, too late. They were an impressive squad. Maybe they'll get some this week, and I know that they know they're in for a test, but I don't know. I'm guessing Deckerville plays Auburn Hills Oakland Christian this year, but it could definitely be an interesting game. They have a massive kid on the team, and I'm surprised they didn't feed him the ball a little more, because when he get the ball, and no one could take him down. And, they were a good squad, but Kingston gets that 46-28 win and continues to impress. And Owen Corliss, he is just a tough kid that is a smart kid. And we saw last year against Deckerville, and, he really had a breakout game there, and he just had another big one this week. So he's just been impressed the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, he did have 34 yards passing, 4 of 8, but he's the leading rusher, 26 carries, as you mentioned, 4 touchdowns, 272 yards. But, that can only last for so long when you come up on some teams later in the season. They have Genesee. Genesee, yep. They've had a win, but that was a forfeit win last week. Really didn't play too well against Adrian Lanaway Christian. Then they'll have Atherton, who actually took it to Mayville, the Flint International game. I don't know. They found the game on September 23rd, have they?
I have not heard a yay or nay on that one.
But then after that, I think you got to look out for Atherton. But then you have Deckerville, KPEC, and Mayville. That end of the season gauntlet before the end of the season with Carson Port Sanlac, when you only have basically Orland Corliss, taking care of all the offense, that can only last so long against teams like that.
Yeah, agreed. They do have other pieces. Turner Marquardt, just 3 receptions, 24 yards and a score. Lawson Lyons, 1 reception, 10 yards and a score. When we walked off the field in the Akron Fairgrove game, Coach Jones said to me, "Do you have us on the schedule this season?" I said, "I'm looking at a couple games." He goes, "You really should be over here for that KPAC game for homecoming." And I kind of thought in my head, "Okay, yeah, that I'm going to waste my one game coming over here to Kingston against KPAC." But now it's kind of like, "Okay, yeah, I feel like I should be at that game." So we'll see if that shakes out like that.
You know, that's going to be a big game. And of course, the Deckerville game at Deckerville, that's massive. You can't overlook Mayville at Mayville coming up. But yeah, you're right, Eddie. We'll see where else the offense comes from. But the first 2 weeks, it's been the Owen Corliss show. And, you know, the defense has been stepping up really well as well. His shout out to his little brother, Colin Corliss. He steps in after their starting center goes, he's under the weather, couldn't play. So this freshman comes up and starts at center and starts against Auburn Hills Open Christian the other day and plays phenomenal at center. And it's Owen Corliss' little brother, Colin. So shout out to him on a big, it's just, they seem to just find these athletes over and over in Kingston. And say, you know, it's just impressive. So yeah. A big win for Kingston.
What's impressive is the Mayville Wildcats. Let's do that transition you mentioned in there, yeah. And you're in that segment. A good win there for them. They came back to win over Burton Atherton, 34-32. Burton Atherton had a pretty good lead at the half. But Mayville Wildcats must have got the call from Goldie Hawn. If anybody remembers the movie, look it up. You'll love it because it's got Denzel Washington. It's got Woody Harrelson. It's got Goldie Hawn. That is a Hollywood Oscar performances from these actors. You got the guy Blade in the darn movie. You've got Kingpin in there. You've got Natural Born Killers in that movie. You've got Overboard in that movie also with Goldie Hawn. But, yeah, okay, that's my tangent on Wildcats. Watch the movie. But Wildcats, good comeback.
Yeah, a huge comeback. We were kind of talking about the scores a little bit there, Eddie, and a big fourth quarter for them. Outscore Atherton 20-8. I talked to Coach Campbell. He said, you know, we just got them gassed. The defense were, you know, bending over, you know, looking for any little bit of air that they could get in their lungs because Mayville was just running them down. And Hunter Labine, 31 rushes for 171 yards, 2 touchdowns. Mason Halsey, 4 receptions, 170 yards, 2 touchdowns. Chase Brown, 2 receptions, 55 yards in the score. He also had a rushing touchdown as well. So, you know, big day. Hunter Labine, 6 of 13 passing, 225 and 2 touchdowns. So, offensively, very impressive day for the Mayville Wildcats. And they're able to rally back and able to avoid getting upset early on in the season at home and get that big win over Atherton. So, congratulations to Mayville keeping the undefeated streak going to start the season.
Yeah, so this week, we just talked about Auburn Hills Oakland Christian. And that's who Mayville will be playing also. Talk about some of those. You mentioned Hunter Labine. Have you seen him? In the past, also, I think I remember watching him last year also.
Hunter Labine played the first 2.25 games last year. He ended up, I think he broke his leg in the Kingston game, or his ankle, something of that nature in the leg area, and he was out for the rest of the season. Nate Crane, the third, stepped in at quarterback out of the wide receiver position. So he didn't get to see a lot of him last year, just a sample size. He's an athletic kid, great kid, you know, he sometimes doubts himself from what I've heard a little bit, which he can't do, and second guesses. You know, he's not as aggressive as they'd like him to be, but they can get that little bit out of him. I think he could be a huge asset to Mayville, as they're, you know, they're definitely using him quite a bit on both the rushing and passing side of things.
All right. So, and then remember, folks, Atherton was leading big in this game, and it's just a good comeback. So, obviously, Hunter Labine, a key to the offense, but, you know, he's a leading rusher also. He's the quarterback, 225 yards, 171 yards rushing. So, again, they're kind of like in the boat that maybe Kingston falls into, but they do have a receiver. You know, you mentioned Mason
Halsey. Yeah, Mason Halsey.
Yeah. So
he's like 6'2". He's a big, big, big kid. He's grown a lot since last year, and I said, you know, watch out for this kid. He could be a huge piece. And, yeah, there's his first big game, so I have a feeling he's got a couple more in him.
All right, so the Mayville Wildcats will have Auburn Hills Oakland Christian, so I guess a tough matchup. We don't know what they have in place of Flint International. They will play KPEC. They will play Deckerville and Kingston back-to-back in week 7 and 8 also. So the NCTL Stars Division looks pretty competitive and pretty exciting at the end of the season there.
Yeah, across the board. I mean, I know that, you know, there's some good games. Obviously, any game Deckerville plays against Mayville or Kingston is exciting in my book. And, you know, Kingston, obviously, you add KPAC to the mix now. That adds another layer for Kingston to try to climb up that ladder to the top of the Stars division. So, yeah, I think it's going to be an exciting time down the stretch.
Okay, I got to play this. It's the Wildcats movie theme. You gotta love it, man.
I wonder if they play this to get the team pumped up. I doubt it, but I had to tell Coach Campbell and see if he's interested in Wildcats.
Wildcats. All right, we'll end it right there. Scotty B, when we come back, we're going to talk about Akron Fairgrove. We'll get Mike Gallagher back in here. I'll talk about Carson Wall, Akron Fairgrove, also a few more 8-player games to talk about here on Sportsline Radio Show on WMIC.
What does better internet mean to you? Is it faster speeds, an affordable price, overall reliability, or quality customer service?
There's a reason Agri Valley Services is the better choice for internet, and it's because we stand behind our service. We have faster speeds than ever before, and our prices are affordable with no gimmicks or hidden fees. We pride ourselves on our reliability, and our friendly customer service team is there to help when needed.
For the past 25 years, Agri Valley Services has simply done it better. We treat our customers like neighbors because we're local. Plus, our selection of plans are designed to meet the demands of today's internet users. Whether you're a family or a business, located in town or out in the country.
So what are you waiting for? Make the switch to Agri Valley Services and get better internet. Call the sales team today at 888-282-4932 or go to agrivalleyservices.com.
Welcome back to the Sportsline Radio Show, our week two recaps of high school football action. With me is Scott Bowlesby, the Tuscola County Advertiser, also Let's Talk Sports on 92.1 FM, WIDL. And my co-host right here is the one and only Mike Gallagher of the San Lake County News. Pick up the edition of the San Lake County News on Wednesdays and the editions for the Tuscola County Advertiser also on Wednesday, Scotty, and the online edition on Saturday also.
Yes, correct.
All right. So let's move on to the more NCTL high school eight player football. I want to mention some other scores that happened. Genesee got that forfeit win over Freeland International. We talked about Mayville already. We talked about Kingston. Now we move on to the Stripes division. And we move into a game where the Akron-Fargo Vikings got the win 26-14 over the Carsonville-Port St. Lake Tigers. A good win there for the Akron-Fargo Vikings. Sound that Viking horn. We mentioned it. They prayed to the gods, Odin, and Odin sent down the prayers and gave them that win, 26-14. But 14 points scored here by Carsonville-Port St. Lake. Not a bad showing. They didn't have a game in week one because, of course, Flint International forfeited.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what played into this game here. You know, it's tough being a week behind. You know, Akron-Fairgrove, they obviously took their lumps against Kingston week one, but they got that game in and they got that experience. For CPS, it's tough. It's nice to pick up that win against International Flint International, but I think they would have rather played, you know, whether you win or lose, just to, you know, kind of get into that rhythm. CPS did lead 8-6 at halftime, just ran out of gas a little bit in the second half. I know they unfortunately suffered an injury on the offensive line. And when you're already struggling with depth and numbers, that could be a setback. But for CPS, Nick Lewis, 13 carries, 91 yards. Colton Sharp, 13 carries, 88 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Those are pretty solid numbers. And, you know, I talked to Coach Hartzell over the weekend, and, you know, he admitted, you know, we need to get Nick the ball more in the second half. You know, we kind of went away from that because, you know, 13 carries, 91 yards, that's pretty efficient running, and that's a guy you kind of want to run your offense through. But I think this says a lot about Akron-Fairgrove as well. You know, in the preseason, everybody was kind of talking about them as a sleeper team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think this says a lot about the NCTL Stripes. It's wide open this year, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for CPS, you're going to have to get right back at it because you got Ashley this week. And, you know, you look at Ashley, they haven't had hardly any success in the NCTL Stripes until this season. You know, last year they had to forfeit a couple games, but they stuck with it and they played their last game of the season against Peck. Now, unfortunately, they only had 8 players for that game, and, you know, Peck took advantage of that. But you see Ashley come back. They played Deckerville week one, and they jumped out to a lead on Deckerville in the first quarter. They kind of threw the ball around against Deckerville. And then you see last week they beat New Haven Merritt Academy, which, you know, that's a pretty big win for, you know, for that program. So for CPS, you're going to have to get right back at it. I do think that CPS, they'll be all right. I think this was just, you know, that type of mixture of, well, this is our first game and this is Akron-Fairgrove's second game and we're going on the road and we're a young team. But I'm sure that CPS is going to be able to battle back and, you know, hopefully get that first win of the season against Ashley.
Okay, yeah, it's going to be tough because Ashley can score points, obviously. They beat, like you said, New Haven Merritt 26-6. But CPS will have Ashley this week. And then the following week, North Huron, who can score points despite 0-2. And then they'll have New Haven Merritt. You know, you're not sure about them yet. Then Bay City All Saints, who beat North Huron, by the way, in week two, 28-16. And then they will have Caseville. Now, bit of a gauntlet there right there. Kind of like in a must-win situation from here on out.
Right. Well,
Carsonville, Port Saline.
And, you know, that's the fun thing about the Stripes is, you know, you look at all these games and it's hard to, you know, pick a favorite. And I do think that CPS is going to fare well in that stretch. I'm looking forward to seeing how they handle that stretch because, yeah, that's probably their toughest, you know, chunk of the schedule. Yeah. And, you know, losing that week one game, you know, you get one game this week against Akron and, you know, you got to get right into it. And I still think that CPS is in the conversation for the NCTL Stripes title.
But they had a huge loss in offense from last year, you know, Trenton Mitchell.
That is true. And that's,
he was a good offensive player despite the record last year.
Yes, he was. Yeah, he was a four-year starter at quarterback, and, you know, he ran that offense. So you are going to have that adjustment period. I feel like CPS, you know, once they get a couple more games under their belt, you know, they're going to hit the ground running. They got that big game against Peck, you know, that's going to be a huge one. And I'm interested to see how CPS moves on after this loss.
Let's talk about the Akron Fairgrove Vikings in the win over Carsonville Port Saline, like Scotty.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it last year. I think, Mike, you went to the game, Carsonville and Akron Fairgrove, and I think you were at that game where we talked about it at least. And I said, you know, Akron Fairgrove beat the Ashley last week in week two. And I said, okay, man, they can go possibly 2-1 because they lost to Peck in week one. Then they get, you know, just absolutely slaughtered last year by CPS 54-0. So to see them turn it around and get the win this year, you know, it's got to feel pretty good. But I talked to Coach Jones from Kingston, who they played in week one, and he said, you know, I said they're going to win some games this year. That's a tough squad. Like, yeah, the game got out of hand against us, turnovers and whatnot. But they're a good team, and they're going to hold their own in the Stripes, and they definitely did just that as they get the win. And you know, there's a game coming up against Peck next week, and then New Haven Merritt after that, and Caseville after that. That, you know, if this Kingston squad can play like we know they can play, you know, there's a couple possible wins right in a row for them. I mean, who knows? I mean, they can rattle off. It's just, can they get out there and do it? I don't want to count the chickens before they hatch, and get too excited about this Akron Fairgrove squad. But I'm getting a little bit of excitement building for this squad. So we'll see if they can continue on. And you know, we kind of talked about the main players on Akron Fairgrove. You're obviously Gatling Guild and Isaac Squires, but Griffin Johnson, who? Yeah, exactly. 134 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns and 14 carries. Colton Karpovich, 60 passing yards and 48 rushing yards, scored 1 touchdown. Isaac Squires had a pair of interceptions as well. And then Griffin Johnson, 5 tackles. So, you know, kind of some of those names that you don't normally hear about had a big game for Akron Fairgrove. And that's what you want if you're the Vikings.
You're going to need that because they're going to have Peck this week.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a huge game because, you know, Peck bounced back this week against Caseville. And, you know, with the way the Stripes is set up this year, you know, every game is key. You know, you can't really say anybody's a favorite. So this will be a good test for Akron Fairgrove. And I think in the past, Peck has handled Akron Fairgrove. But if you look back the past couple of years, CPS has handled Akron Fairgrove pretty well. Yeah. I mean, three straight wins against the Vikings, including a couple shutouts. So I think this is a program that's turning it around, and it's not going to be, you know, just an easy game for Peck, and they got to be ready for the Vikings.
Yeah, it's going to be go ahead.
I was going to say real quick, I was actually just reading on M Live that the past 3 seasons, the Vikings were outscored by CPS 130-8. So,
which is, you know, with CPS, you know, they've done a great job of rebuilding that program over there. But it's kind of odd to see such a dominant success against a team, you know, while you're going through the rebuilding process.
Yeah.
And hopefully they can learn from this loss to Akron Fairgrove also. So, you know, they scored 14 points. They only lost by 12. That's just 2 touchdowns right there. So,
well, that's a good defensive showing as well.
Yes.
You know, 26 points, that's, you know, not terrible.
Pretty good week for the Stripes division. This is considered the smaller school division, by the way, in the NCAA player. Ashley versus Carsonville, Port Saline, looks pretty good on paper. Bay City All Saints against New Haven Merritt. Another good game there. Akron Fairgrove against Peck.
Yep.
That's a good, you know, that's what we're going to learn what Akron Fairgrove is going to be all about against Peck, who's smarting off that big loss against Brown City, but bounced back with a win. They did play Caseville. Mm-hmm. They shut them out. Caseville themselves will take on North Huron also. Again, we got to say a big shout out to Caseville for fielding the team where they could easily fold if they had to, but they put a team out there and they play there, Scotty.
Yeah, I mean, you got to give them respect. I mean, any team that goes out there and guts it out, no matter how bad you're getting beat week in and week out, and the kids still showing up, I mean, hats off to them.
All right, and our final team to talk about here. By the way, those other wins in week two, Bay City All Saints over North Huron 28-16 and Peck over Casefield 54-0. Again, that bounce back win. Go ahead.
Real quick, if we're going to kind of gloss over the Peck win, but really a nice bounce back victory for them. 54-0 over Casefield. Let me pull up the stats real quick.
He has the stats and I don't yet.
Yeah.
I got to get him on it.
So, I mean, the Brown City game, we kind of talked about that when, you know, Peck, they hung in there for a little while. But against Caseville, I mean, from start to finish, just a dominant showing for the Pirates. Carried the ball 23 times, rushed for 354 yards. That's over 15 yards a carry as a team. Caleb Lettner, 10 carries, 257 yards, and 5 touchdowns. 20-yard touchdown run, 83-yard touchdown run, 7-yard touchdown run, 20-yard run, and then a 73-yard run. Steven Van Konen gets into the end zone, 28-yard run. And Brady Babcock, 47-yard interception return. That's the second week in a row that he's had an interception. Just a great bounce back for the Pirates. And, man, I don't know if this is a typo. It might be, but Coach McDaniel says Steven Van Konen had a big day on the defensive side of the ball with 12 tackles for a loss.
Wow.
Just that might be a typo, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's correct because he looked awesome in the scrimmage at Peck. And, you know, this is just a great bounce-back win for Peck, and I think this is more of what we can expect from the Pirates as opposed to what we saw week one against Brown City now that they're getting into the stripe schedule.
All right, as expected, we're probably going to go in overtime here once again, into the 7 o'clock hour. So we'll join the Jesse James Show in progress after a conclusion of the Sports Line radio show. We still have another team to talk about in the high school eight-player football. We'll talk about the Brown City Green Devils. They're playing in an independent schedule, and now they're 2-0. When we come back here on the Sports Line radio show, our recap of week two action of high school football.
Tired of your slow internet service that buffers when you're trying to stream a movie? Tired of hearing the internet is out again? Highline has started installing its new fiber to the home service in Sanilac County, and that solves these common internet problems forever. Connect every TV, phone, computer, and more to Highline's internet service, and you'll have the fastest internet connection available anywhere in the U.S. No contracts, unlimited data, and a fiber connection make Highline the best option in the thumb for your home's internet connection. Visit HighlineFast.com today for more information.
Welcome back to Sports Line Radio Show, our recap of week two action of high school football, our high school football sports show. I'm Eddie Fury, your host on WMIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM. And with me is Scott Bowlesby and Mike Gallagher. Mike Gallagher of Sanilac County News and Scott Bowlesby at Tuscola County Advertiser. All right, our final eight-player team to talk about is the Brown City Green Devils playing an independent schedule. They played Vermontville, Maple Valley Lions, and Brown City gets the win 40-20, 322 rushing yards, 106 passing yards for Brown City. Pretty darn good yardage there once again with the win. And they led 14-0 at the first quarter, scored 6 points apiece in the second quarter for each team, but it was 20-6 at the half, 20 more points for Brown City. No points in the fourth because it was pretty much, you know, just letting
pretty
that clock run.
Up,
yeah, wrapped up. We saw some different names and players popping up here also for Brown City. Lawson Cooper, 9-12, 123 yards, 2 touchdowns. Kyle Affer, this time he took over with the leading rushing of 161 yards, 15 carries, 2 touchdowns. And Nick DiBono, 2 receptions, 53 yards. Good showing here for the Brown City Green Devils.
Yeah, this is there's a lot to talk about with this game. But you got to start with Kyle Affer and Clint Ford. That's what we saw week one, and that's what we're going to be seeing all season is these two guys. Clint Ford adding 136 yards and a touchdown on the ground, touchdown reception. Kyle Affer with 3 catches, 42 yards, touchdown reception.
I forgot to mention that. The second leading rusher, Clint Ford, who is a dynamic player. Like you said, 18 carries, 136 yards, and a touchdown.
Well, and then you flip over to the defensive side of the ball. Clint Ford, 9.5 tackles, 1 tackle for loss. So he's just all over the field. But I think the interesting thing is Lawson Cooper. We didn't see Brown City go to the air very much against Peck. You don't really need to in a game like that.
That was Ethan Worrell as quarterback, right?
It was, yeah. I'm not sure why they made the change there. I don't know. Hopefully it wasn't an injury, but
but it was a good one. It worked.
Right, it worked out. Lawson Cooper, the freshman, 9 of 12, 123 and two touchdowns. I mean, that's fantastic. That's you want to see that balance with that offense, especially when you can move guys like Clint Ford and Kyle Affer out into the slot or out at receiver. And then on the defensive side of the ball, Brown City sees something a little bit different from Maple Valley. You know, week one, you see Peck, they run the ball all night. They threw it maybe four times. Maple Valley threw it 25 times, 13 of 25, 151 yards, two touchdowns and a pick. So that's nice. You know, in week one, we kind of talk about the adjustment from 11-player to 8-player. The toughest part about it is how do you play defense? And so week one, we saw Brown City go up against a team that runs the ball. Majority of the time, and you know, week two they get to see what it's like going up against an offense that throws the ball around. So really just a great performance for Brown City. Ryan Binkley-Potts, 9.5 tackles, 3 tackles for loss. Connor Van, I wish I knew how to say this last name. Connor V, 7.5 tackles, 1 interception, and I promise I'll get that name right next weekend.
Connor Van Lamberg. Van Lamberg.
You don't know it either.
I had it right during game against Beck. Vandenberg.
Connor, I promise we'll get it right next
weekend. There we go.
Yeah.
Vandenberg.
And then Justin Kleinsmith again on the defensive line. 4 tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss. Just a great showing for Brown City. And it's so exciting to see this team make the move to 8-player and have the success. You know, looking ahead, Onekama, that should be a win for Brown City. And then you really get into the meat of the schedule. And that's when we're really going to find out about Brown City. They're one of the more exciting teams to follow this year, just because of the playmakers that they have. And it's going to be fun to watch them develop.
Yeah, and Brown City, actually, you mentioned Onekama. Actually, they got a pretty tough schedule just because it's an independent schedule. Mm-hmm. They are playing some good teams. By the way, that was an away game. And if you're wondering where Vermont Maple Valley's at, Vermontville, it's over just east of Nashville, but also west of I-69, but just south of Lansing, a few miles out also. So, there's the map right there. There's Lansing, and there's...
Okay.
Maybe they caught the state game. Who knows? I mean, it was on the road. But they're playing against teams on their schedule here, Scotty. They'll be at Onekama. They're playing Sutton's Bay. They're going to be at Martin. Britton Deerfield, Meesick also, Vandercook Lake. And then week 9, we know they're playing KPAC. So another decent team on their schedule. That's not a bad schedule for Brown City. You thought it'd be a cakewalk, but they're not, you know, they're not taking on some cakewalk teams.
No, I mean, obviously you start the season getting two big wins. More than likely, from what I've heard, is that, I guess, Mike, I don't know if you can back me up, Onekama might not have a team.
Yeah, they're 0-2 right now, yeah.
Yeah, it sounded like their numbers were a little bit low. Their enrollment's fairly low as well. I haven't heard any confirmation on that, but it also sounds like later on in the season, Vandercook Lake may or may not have a team.
Wow.
So it's looking like maybe Brown City picks up a game with Oakland Christian because that's who Flint International was supposed to play week 8. That'd be kind of cool. That would be kind of a measuring stick. It would give us, you know, something to, you know, gauge Brown City with, because Oakland Christian's playing Kingston, KPAC, you know, all of the Stars teams. And then, KPAC week 9. It should be a nice end of the season for Brown City. Just got to make it through that stretch in the middle there.
Well, yeah, look at it. Sutton's Bay, Martin, Britton Deerfield, and Meesick, all really legit squads in the 8-player game.
Well,
I mean, that's a welcome match.
Sutton's Bay is 0-2 right now. Onekama is 0-2.
Yeah, Sutton, that's a little
No, they're 1-1.
Yeah,
they're 1-1, but Onekama's 0-2. But Martin looks
good. The North Point Christian squad is legit. They have over – they're not going to make the playoffs in 8-player because they have 320 kids, but – they didn't have enough for an 11-player football team, so they knocked it down to 8-player. And from what I understand, just a couple of seasons ago, they had an all-stater or national, I don't know, some major player, I don't know who it was, went to Michigan State to play football. So they're out of Grand Rapids, and they're a legit squad, so they knocked off Sutton's Bay. And I thought that was like, okay, wow, but I understand this North Point squad is really good. But don't worry about it because they're not going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, well, Martin Clippers are 2-0. So far, Meesick is 2-0. We know about that team. Mm-hmm. Also, later in the season, that Brown City will play. Also, and you mentioned Britton Deerfield. I think is 1-1. and Vandercook Lake Jayhawks are 0-2, and you said they're having
problems. Yeah.
So,
and Britton Deerfield, I don't know who they've played this year, but that's a team that we saw beat Deckerville in the playoffs last season. So we know that they're going to be a tough challenge as well.
Yeah, well, they did lose to Lakeside, Ohio, Danbury, 64-14, and they just lost to Concord, 30-40, but they put up 30 points.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah. So I would say half the schedule, you know. And then, and actually, Brown City, they could, they're looking to get in the playoffs. So we could see a Brown City team still in the mix here. Probably division, obviously, one, right?
Yeah, they would playoffs. They would be division one.
So.
It would be kind of tough to get a home game just because division one is so tough. But, you know, with the way the playoff point system is set up, with the teams that Brown City's playing, I mean, it wouldn't be too crazy for Brown City to have a home playoff game. And, I mean, how cool would that be, you know?
And I probably already confused it with all the losses, the wins for these other teams are taking on.
Yeah.
But I think Brown City should be able to handle Onekama, and this changed the quarterback, obviously. It was like, wow, that was an eye-opener.
Yeah.
Now they got that passing game going and the running game. And that we talked before in the preseason show, before the game started here, Scotty, that Brown City's offense, I think, is geared more for this eight-player game.
Oh, it is. Yeah, absolutely. And it's you knew that Kyle Affer and Clint Ford were going to be there, but Nick DeBono, I mean, he's emerged as a nice receiving option, and you know, just a lot of weapons for Brown City. So
yeah, and Scotty, you need a good line, and you need speed in this game.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, they impressed me in the scrimmage. I said, you know, watch out for this Brown City squad. They were hanging with Deckerville in that scrimmage, and you know, if there's any measuring stick in the thumb. For the eight-player game, it's Deckerville. I mean, they've proven year in and year out that they're probably the team to beat in the Thumb area. So, I know it was a scrimmage, but they looked really good in that scrimmage, and it's definitely moving on over into the regular season.
All right, there's our Talking Brown City. Ended up being a good segment there, all on its own there. When we come back, we'll wrap things up here on our Tuesday edition of the Sportsline Radio Show, as we are just coming back from Labor Day Monday. And you can listen to the Monday game online also. And, of course, this game will be posted online the next day on Wednesday also. Scott Bowlesby right there from the Tuscola County Advertiser, 92.1 FM. Your game of the week is what?
The Sugar Bowl. That's always an exciting game. USA Reese. It's going to be, you know, both squads are low, are, you know, down this year. Both squads are, you know, struggling. USA is dealing with some injuries. Reese dealing with a lot of new faces. But the Sugar Bowl always just has an excitement around it. And usually it rains a lot during the Sugar Bowl, or pours at least a little bit. But as of right now, clear skies on Friday. So maybe we'll get in a nice, clean, clear Sugar Bowl. And, I mean, there's a joke in there with sugar and the rain and all that. But I'm not going to put it together for you guys. So
where are you going to be at?
I'll be at Croswell Lexington for Croslex Armada. I'm really looking forward to seeing the Pioneers in person. And then, of course, Deckerville on Saturday.
I'll see you there at both games.
So perfect.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Just going to follow you around all
week.
Okay,
that's fine. I like you, Mike. I like you.
Yeah. All right.
I like you being on the show. You're helping the show, for one thing. So, all right, folks.
Hey, shout out real quick. Just want to let everyone know Mayville is playing this week on Thursday against Auburn Hills Home Christian at Mayville. So if you want to go over there and check it out, there you go.
Oh, that's tempting.
Oh, Mrs. Fear, you'll be so angry. I want to see that game now. So, well, it is online, right? Do they have a...
They do have a pick slot. They've been dealing with some electrical things over there because they're redoing the... they knocked down the Wildcat Den, and they're building a new building out there, multi-sport.
Guys, I just got a message from my Uncle Wally. I got a feeling for golf, Scramble League at Huron Shores. I'm sorry, but Scotty, you'll be on top of it.
What's that? Wait, say again?
I got to go golf. I just got text. Oh. My Uncle Wally says, I need you as a sub to golf in our Scramble League, so I got a sub. Hey, I get to play golf. I'm playing a sporting event. Of course I'm going to stand up and do that. But you're going to have this game covered, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. I'll be over there covering it, and we'll have photos and all that good stuff in the paper.
All right, Scott Bowlesby, Mike Gallagher, thank you guys for tuning in. Let's do the rundown here before we wrap the show up. Be sure to join the Jesse James show here in just a bit. Our schedule, here we go, the week three games. We left off on high school player football. Let's talk about that. You just announced they're playing on Thursday. It is the Mayville Wildcats in action against Auburn Hills Oakland Christian at Mayville. Then you have Genesee at Kingston, Burton Atherton at K-Peck. Good game there. North Huron at Caseville. You have Peckett at Fairgrove. New Haven Marriott at Bay City All Saints, Ashley at Carsonville Port Stanley, and Brown City at Onekama. And on Saturday, eight-player football, Toledo Christian at Deckerville. Going to be a very interesting game, some tough competition there, as you did pretty good research on what this team's all about from Toledo Christian. High school football, it's Marlette at Ubley. That's on thumbtogether.com. Harbor Beach at Cass City, Memphis at Sandusky, Lakers at Vassar, Reese at USA. That will be on 92.1 FM. The Sugar Bowl game with Scott Bosby, your Tuscola County advertiser reporter. By the way, Harbor Beach at Cass City on 102.1 WWW. Carroll's at Bad Axe. And in the BWAC, this will be on Sand Lake Broadcasting 92.5. Armada at Cross of Lexington, also covered by Mike Gallagher. Check it out for the Sand Lake County News. North Branch at Yale, Armada at Emily City, and Richmond, I believe, gets the forfeit win. I don't know if they found the game also. So, yeah, pretty good schedule this week of games. We got some good games, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are some good ones out there, so get out there and enjoy them.
All right, thank you, Scotty.
Yep, thank you, guys.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll see you guys next week.
And that wraps up Sportsline Radio Show. Tune in next week. We'll have a recap of Week 3 action on WMIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM.